have you come to this place?
We are the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. We are here to share the gospel with you.
If you are disciples of Jesus, then you have traveled a great distance and have been witness to many things. Entered the city?
Yes, we were with him in the wilderness. And we also shouted to Hosanna, and tomorrow we will be received by the people. The people are not very gracious when they are at palm trees and lay them on his back.
And what have you learned on this journey following this man who claims to be the Messiah? Do you believe that this man is truly the Son of the Lord God? But the prophecy is not yet fulfilled. Listen to Jesus' own words. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." And they asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. "7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh shall be cut off from Israel." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go, select lambs for your family, and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood in the basin. None of you shall go outside the door of your house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you down. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he has passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed down and worshiped." Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. And when it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." And Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You have said so." Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples, Peter by name, said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered that unless I wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe, and he returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them."
Thank you. I lift up my prayer to you, O Lord. I am your servant, Martha. I humbly seek your forgiveness for my foolish actions and my sinful neglect of the Messiah's teachings and through him, your message of love and faith. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus and his disciples came to Bethany. Jesus made the journey to visit his loving friend Lazarus, my brother, who had been dead and whom Jesus had raised and returned to the living. Upon the arrival of Jesus and his follower, I prepared and served them supper, for it was the time for the evening meal. My brother Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with them. At that time, Mary, my sister, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Some of Jesus' followers rebuked her for this extravagance, for we are not a wealthy family. I also chided Mary for her wasteful actions. I tried to listen to the words spoken by the rabbi, but I was distracted, for there was much preparation and serving. I soon became tired from the work, and I approached Jesus and said, "Rabbi, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Jesus answered and said to me, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." At the time, I was very angry at Jesus for his rebuke of me and his praise of my sister. Was I not the one who welcomed Jesus and his disciples into our home and fed them and made them feel welcome? But now, with the wisdom that comes from time, to think about what has happened, it is clear to me that I have sinned against you, O Lord, and against your Son Jesus. The Messiah has told us that our highest priority in life should be to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he instructs us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I know that the words that Jesus speaks to me and to all who hear his voice are spirit, and they are life, and the word of you, O God, was in our presence in the person of Jesus the Christ. For it was Mary who understood that Jesus' words were the most important needs of her life. My soul was blind, for all I saw was the need for food and drink. After Jesus and his followers had left our house, it was my brother who reminded me of the teachings of the ancients who taught us, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now word has come to us that Jesus has been seized by his enemies, by those who would do him harm. And what if I never see my beloved friend again, never hear his blessed words again? I pray with all my heart to you, my Lord, to lift this heavy burden of sin and guilt for what I have failed to do, to truly hear the word of Jesus, the word of you, Lord, Almighty God, behold the cross I bear."
Martha, I have heard your prayer. Hear now the words of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, "His love endures forever." Let the house of Aaron say, "His love endures forever." Let those who fear the Lord say, "His love endures forever." When hard pressed, I cry to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but I will live and will proclaim what the Lord has done.
Jesus said, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. And Simon said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. And then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. He said to them, Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, is it with a kiss that you are to betray the Son of Man?
I raise my prayer to you, O Lord of my fathers, who have delivered my people from our enemies and have brought us to the promised land. I am Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, and beloved and faithful friend of your son Jesus. It is I who owe my life to the Messiah, for I fell ill and died. It was my sisters who sent word to Jesus that I was near death. But when Jesus arrived in Bethany, I had already died and I had laid in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha, my sister, discovered that Jesus was on his way, she went out to meet him and said to him, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. At that time that Jesus told Martha, your brother will rise again. But Martha thought he was talking about the final resurrection of the dead. Her grief was not soothed by his words, but then Jesus said these words for all to hear and understand. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Martha marveled at these words. She then went and told Mary that Jesus asked her to come to him on the road leading to our village. Jesus had not yet entered Bethany, for he did not want the villagers to come to him at that time. The town of Bethany is not far from Jerusalem. Jesus knew that the leaders of the Sanhedrin and the priests of the temple were plotting against him, and that he and his followers must be always mindful of this danger. When my sister Mary met Jesus, she and her brethren were grieving with strong emotion over my death. Deeply moved by their grief, Jesus wept with them. Jesus then went to the tomb with Mary, Martha, and my brethren who were mourning. There, he asked them to remove the stone that covered the sepulcher. Jesus looked up to heaven and prayed to you, O Lord, closing with these words, "Lazarus, come out!" At that moment, I hear my friend's voice commanding me to rise up, and I felt life return to my body. Jesus told those assembled to remove my grave clothes. At the time, I was overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness for the miracle that Jesus had performed. I, who was dead, was now alive. But now, with the passage of time, I have come to realize that my very presence, my walking about, my talking with my friends, my laughing and eating and drinking with those in my village, my embracing my sisters, all of this represents the greatest insult to the chief priests and elders in Jerusalem. Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin have long denied that Jesus was the true Messiah. But how does one deny that this man is the Son of God when he had raised a man from the dead? I had been dead and had laid in a tomb for 4 days. Everyone in my village of Bethany had seen this miracle with their own eyes, and the story of my rebirth has traveled all over Judea. But now, Jesus has been arrested and will be imprisoned, perhaps even killed for his teachings. And my return from the dead is to blame for this dark and sad event. All the rest of my days, I will know that by returning my life to me, Jesus has forfeited his life in return. It would be far better for me to be dead and for your Son, O Lord, to be alive. The unbearable weight of this guilt will truly crush my soul. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
I have heard your prayer, Lazarus. Now hear the word of God. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The word of the Lord. He works righteousness and injustice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins and our transgressions from us.
And Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him, led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them?" Peter said, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned, looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Almighty and merciful God, our Father, I pray for your grace and I seek your forgiveness, for I am Mary, the one they call Mary Magdalene. For I was born and raised in the town of Magdala. I have always been grateful to you, my Lord, for the abundance that you have bestowed on myself and my family. It is because of your blessings that our town of Magdala, the jewel that looks out on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was many seasons now past that Jesus first traveled through cities and villages close by to my town. I first heard about this Rabbi Jesus from Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, who was preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to all who would listen and truly hear his words. Mary went on to tell me about the 12 who traveled with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. When Jesus came to Magdala, I set aside my business of selling dried fish and walked to the square to hear him speak. It was there that I met Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Susanna and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and many other women who were followers of this rabbi. When Jesus was finished speaking to the crowd, he came to me and asked me how long I had been troubled with my illness. At first, I did not want to answer him, for my pains and maladies were many, and I was ashamed of my weaknesses. But the power of his Spirit shone through his eyes, and I was obliged to answer. It was then that he placed both of his hands on my head, circling my brow like a crown, and he spoke loudly, commanding that the demons of my illness should be gone. I fell to the ground, but when I stood up, the pains and the suffering were gone. I knew then that this man was the Messiah, the Savior sent from you, O Lord, that was prophesied by the ancients. It was then that I left my trade in fish to my my brother and became a follower of your son Jesus. I was fortunate to have had the privilege of schooling and the benefit of learning about the ways of the world by my trade in fish to the merchants in the province. I used what money I had to support Jesus' teaching and his generosity with the poor. After a time, I became the leader of the group of women who followed Jesus. It was often that Jesus would praise me for my loyalty and love of you, O Lord, and for my faith in Jesus and my passion for his message of peace and charity and love. It was James who would chide me and boast that I had more courage and strength of will than many of Jesus' disciples. It was he that would mockingly say to the others that if the Roman soldiers ever came to arrest them, that they should give me a broad sword and a shield and send me out to do battle, and that I would defeat Pilate's armies on my own. But now the friendly banter and the fair-hearted mocking has turned into a grave and somber darkness that is as real as death itself. My Messiah, Jesus, has been taken by the guards of the temple. He is being taken to stand before the chief priests and the scribes, where they will judge him for his words and his deeds, which they will say is blasphemy. They will seek to put him in prison or to execute him. My Savior and my Master is in mortal danger, and here I am safe and free of danger. My sin, dear Lord, is not due to my actions that defy your commandments. My sin is that I am a coward, and I have taken no actions to stand with Jesus and to try to gain his freedom. I know in my heart that it is better to die in truth to my faith than to live with the stain of being a coward to the pagans and those who corrupt our faith in you, O Lord. When strength of faith is demanded, I am weak. When courage of loyalty is needed, I am cowardly. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
Mary of Magdala, I have heard your prayer. Hear now the word of God. I lift up my eyes to you, O Lord, you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant and of contempt from the proud. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and your goings from now and forevermore.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. Peter was following him, the distance of the courtyard of the high priest. Going inside, he sat down with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. And then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" And they answered, "He deserves death."
Almighty and merciful God, divine Father of Abraham and Isaac and Moses, please hear my prayer. I have followed my head and have let my anger and resentment overrule my heart and my soul. I have betrayed your Jesus, the Messiah. I came to know this man from Nazareth when he spoke to the people gathered for prayers at the Kahal. I took notice of the meaning in his words that he chose. Never had I heard a rabbi speak of offering his blessing to non-believers and that your forgiveness can be bestowed on those who have led a sinful life. I have always tried to live a true and honest life, but I confess that at times I have been tempted and have strayed from the paths of righteousness. The rabbi of our Kahal has scorned me for my sins against you, O God, and has spoken against me in the public square, saying that I should be shunned by my family for my transgressions. And so it was that as Jesus and his followers were leaving the gathering, I approached him and asked if you, God, could forgive a man who has sinned against the commandments. He put his hand on my shoulder and asked me if I loved the Lord thy God. I told him that I did with all of my heart. It was at that moment that he asked me to follow him and be as one with his preaching. I gave up all that I had known and left my family and took up my loyalty to the rabbi. In the beginning of our time together, I was sure that Jesus was the man who would lead our people to victory and throw off the yoke of bondage placed on Judea by the Romans. I truly believed that Jesus would call down your power, O Lord, to end our poverty and bring our people peace and good fortune. As we made our many journeys to share his message, it became clear to me that Jesus had not the will nor the courage to cast out the Romans. My anger began to rise as Jesus revealed that the kingdom he promised to our people was not of this world. Those of us who are his closest followers had given up everything to journey with him. We believed that our deliverance was close at hand and that we, as Jesus' chosen ones, would be rewarded for our loyalty. But the thought of being granted a position of authority and riches in an invisible kingdom that floats in the clouds, leaves a taste in my mouth like the bitter herbs from the Passover table. We had been deceived. All of us had been promised a land of plenty, but have been led down a path that ends in a barren desert. Jesus is not the Messiah. He is a fraud, a false prophet who claims to speak for you, O God. It is true that I have seen him perform miracles, but wizards and conjurers can turn water into wine, and his healings can easily be nothing but trickery. I was sure that Jesus had betrayed our people and betrayed me. Now I realize that the power of evil has taken hold of me, and that I have delivered your son over to those who wish him to be destroyed. My heart speaks to me, and my soul directs me that I must be punished for my sin against you, O Lord, and to ensure punishment is swift and sure. It must be at my own hand. I petition you, Lord God, to show me a sign that I might be forgiven for my sin of betrayal. Please, oh please, I beseech thee, Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
Judas Iscariot, I have heard your prayer. Hear now the word of the Lord. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel for all of their sins, just as he will redeem all of your sins.